Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello, and welcome to the Intelligent Design the Future podcast. Once again, we have in our studio today with us Nisa O'Leary here in Seattle, Washington at Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in my tiny little office. And it's very wonderful to have you with us today, Denise. Again, thank you so much for being willing to be on the podcast.
Oh, you're most welcome.
Well, I think that we talked a little bit previously about Denise's experience as a journalist and getting involved with this issue as a blogger. So I'd like to talk about the trials and tribulations of being a blogger on the ID controversy. So first off, Denise, it's no secret that you are a very prolific blogger on the issue. So can you just name us some of your many blogs on the within the intelligent design issue?
Well, I have two blogs, The Post-Darwinist and The Mindful Hack.
Okay.
I started The Post-Darwinist because I had correctly predicted that the ID controversy would become very intense by the mid-first decade of the 21st century. It was on that basis that I sold the idea of the book by design and by chance.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Well, now that created a problem because the book came out in 2004.
Oh.
It was a good popular history to date.
Yes.
But massive amounts of things were happening, and the pace at which things were happening was picking up. But I had a friend who blogged on issues of interest to Catholics, and I observed what she was doing, and I realized that this was a technology that a person could easily master, and all on their own, they could simply keep up with the controversy. So I went to Blogger, Google's Blogger, started a blog, and said to people, I'm just going to blog on matters of interest, use the archives. Later on, I'll do an updated edition of By Design or By Chance. But in the meantime, use my archives if you want to research anything. Well, it wasn't long before the New York Times picked up something that I had blogged on.
Oh, really?
Which is that I'd received an invitation to a showing of The Privileged Planet at the Smithsonian.
Okay.
Now, it's quite interesting. The legacy media, by which I mean print and broadcast media, which have been losing circulation and readership for years, have tended to claim that bloggers are unreliable people sitting around in their pajamas blogging, right?
In some cases that might be true.
In some cases that might be true. But what was I to make of the fact that the New York Times messed up the story by claiming that Privileged Planet was a film against evolution? Now, I, as it happens, had seen the film, so I knew what it was about.
Yes.
Huge numbers of people were contacting the Smithsonian to complain about the anti-evolution film.
Yes.
People I promptly termed Darwin bots, and because obviously it hadn't occurred to them any more than it had occurred to the New York Times that someone should actually see the film before they launched into a major denunciation. So, to make a long story short, I took a week in June I'll never see again in that year, and June 2005, that was. And I wrote out the entire synopsis of the film, including just about all the dialogue.
Okay.
And so I put it up on my blog and said, this is the film.
Okay.
Read this. I understand that the makers of the film, Illustra Media, have now also put the transcript online, which is a good thing. But at that time, I couldn't find a transcript, and I guess a lot of other people couldn't either. So anyway, that was an example, and I remember going away from that experience thinking, well, now, if you had to choose between my blog and the New York Times to find out what was going on, which was the better value for your money, especially considering that the Post-Darwinist is free to the user?
Sure.
So it went on from there. I blogged on a number of other issues where I had more or less exclusives. For example, one of the late Stephen Jay Gould's friends came forward and said Gould was not someone who would have wanted to sign National Center for Science Education's
Steve's list. Yeah.
And of course, he was roundly denounced, as I was. But when I listened to his story, and having read some of Gould's work, I think that was probably true, in essence, though Gould would probably have been glad not to be asked about it. because he was in a very dicey position. Mm. I don't think he was being quite honest with himself about the whole business. But anyway, that's just my opinion. But certainly, I can see what his friend was saying, and I had no doubt that his friend knew him better than anyone else.
Sure.
But long story short, again, what you find with the blogosphere is it can be way better or it can be way worse than the legacy media.
Yes.
It's way better when the blogger actually knows a specific topic very well.
Yes.
It's the same with narrowcasting versus broadcasting. If what you really want to know is how to grow rhododendrons that would amaze your neighbors, then the narrowcasting gardening columnist is the person.
It's invaluable.
Yes. And in general, I think what's happening is that focused media, where the viewer or reader is creating their own media experiences based on their own needs, is winning.
Mm.
And media where the medium is telling you what your needs are and asking you to buy into their way of understanding life is diminishing.
Mm.
There's good things and there's bad things about that.
Yes.
The blogosphere came into its own, as you probably know, in the 2004 election.
That's right.
When Dan Rather went head-to-head with the pajama head and lost. The really remarkable thing about that story, as I look back on it, is that anyone should have seen that those documents were suspect.
Uh-huh.
For several reasons. First, it's odd that they didn't appear in the 2000 election, which was very closely contested. The documents were already 25 years old. So that's my first question. Mm. Why are we only hearing about this now? Second, apparently they'd received them by fax. Anyone who knows anything about documents wants to know two things. What about the paper and the machine on which they were typed?
Sure.
If that doesn't check out, the document is a forgery, irrespective of anything else.
Yes.
And secondly, what is the provenance of the documents?
True.
How did they only come to light now?
Yes.
Well, apparently they were so anxious to run with their story, they ignored all this. The bloggers were right, and within hours, as you know, they had up on the internet an exact copy produced in, I think, Microsoft Word, the program almost every American uses.
Yeah.
So there you go. So to make a long story short, I began to see the power of the blogosphere because it enables the expert to reach thousands and thousands of people instead of just getting buried because the newspaper chooses to ignore him.
Yes.
Or the TV station chooses to ignore
him. Yes.
There's no going back on that. You can insult bloggers at your peril.
Sure. Now, some people consider you to be a blog expert, which I think by now it's already evident, hopefully, to our listeners that you have some considerable experience with this. Tell us a little about some of your experiences actually teaching people about blogging and talking to groups about how to blog.
Well, my only important recent experience in that area was I spoke to the combined meeting of the Canadian Church Press and Roman Catholic Communicators of Canada earlier this year in May.
Oh.
And basically explaining to them why they must integrate blogging and online services with their magazines and newspapers.
Okay.
Because blogs are growing very quickly in numbers.
Yes.
The use of online media is growing quickly. Circulation and viewership and hearers of radio are declining proportionately.
Sure, sure.
Because of the factor I mentioned earlier, that people are choosing their own experiences now.
Yeah.
So, But of course, many people have wrong ideas about how and why that's happening. For one thing, a common misconception is that the blogosphere is a right-wing phenomenon. Not particularly true.
Mm.
The left-wing blogosphere is also very successful.
Oh, sure.
Those people are confusing the blogosphere with talk radio, but the two are dissimilar media.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing, of course, is that the blogosphere costs almost nothing to operate. I don't have any expenses associated with my blog other than my time.
And buying the pajamas that you blog in.
Yes, but I usually would have worn them anyway.
Oh, okay.
I mean.
Well, there you go.
There's no law requiring me to wear uniform pajamas that I have to pay for.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
So, Google puts ads on my blog and attempts to reach people who are interested. Mm-hmm. If you go to my blog, you'll notice that the ads
give us
are
the website. It's okay to pump websites on this podcast. So.
The easiest way to find it is to Google post-Darwinist.
Okay.
And you will find yourself at the post-Darwinist or Mindful Hacked.
Mindful Hacked. And now you also are a contributor to some other blogs, such as... Yeah.
I blog with the inimitable Bill Dembski.
Oh, boy.
It used to be Bill Dembski's blog. Then it became Bill Dembski and Friends. Then one day he phoned me and asked me if I would contribute to the blog, and it became Bill Dembski, Denise O'Leary, and Friends.
Wow.
This is a highly assorted group of people and very characteristic of a blogging community.
Mm.
It's not the only community blog I'm on, but it's a good way of studying what a blogging community is like.
Mm.
You have software engineers. You have a lawyer who is also a radio host.
Sure.
You have some geeks.
Oh, yeah.
You have Bill Dembski, a mathematician who's gained a worldwide reputation for being an intelligent design advocate.
You have Paul Nelson now also, who's a scientist and a philosopher of biology.
One of the funniest things. And this is so characteristic. People who attack me as a blogger and attack Uncommon Dissent, which is the blogging community that Bill Dembski and I are a part of, will often ask, how is it that people like me, who are not really in any sense creationists, can get along with young Earth creationists? People who blog at Uncommon Dissent who are young Earth creationists.
Yeah.
Well, the answer is, it's not something I'd ever make an issue out of.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's like a newspaper. There are different columnists.
Yeah.
Some are left, some are right.
Sure, sure.
Some are tree huggers, some don't believe global warming occurs. Columnist would say, I'm not going to put my column in this newspaper because Schmo's column appears here.
Well, this is similar to the old line from the Darwinists. We won't even share the stage with the ID proponents. We won't even talk to them because... just by talking to these people, you're giving them the air of legitimacy. And I think that's a terrible way to deal with controversial subjects.
Well, it's their choice. But the age of the internet makes them completely irrelevant because anyone can Google any opinion they want and find out what's going on.
Okay, now, we're almost getting to the end here. And I want to just do a few free associations here. I'm going to throw out some names, some fairly prominent bloggers. And I'd like to know... you know, what comes into your mind? So we'll just start with one prominent blogger, P.Z. Myers.
Well, isn't Myers that fellow who got into a row with a cartoonist? He's a biologist, apparently, in some minor facility out in Minnesota. but the only person I've ever heard of who would be fool enough to get into a row with a cartoonist, I was trying to interest him in a row with a Canadian sock puppet called Ed the Sock, who's been in trouble with the broadcast authorities for obscenity, but I haven't so far. But you never know. I could find that in my Christmas talking.
Well, that's very interesting. Let me throw out another name for you, someone who's a little bit more maybe not quite so far from you and maybe a little bit more established as a scientist, Larry Moran.
Larry Moran teaches at the University of Toronto and regularly attacks me on his blog called Sandwalk. Much more about it I don't know, except that one of the nice things about it is that he links his attacks to the things he's attacking. Mm. So I know when he's doing it because a blogger can find out where readers actually came from before they came to the blog.
Gotcha.
And I noticed that a number of them came from Sandwalk. So I owe Larry a great deal, and I want to express my thanks.
Okay, well, that's very nice. Well, Denise, it's been wonderful to have you on this show. I've learned a lot, actually learning about the interaction between the legacy media, as you call it, and the blogosphere media, and just the way things are changing and how this all works. This is very enlightening for me. So thank you for being on the show. This is Casey Luskin with the ID the Future podcast. And again, be sure to check out Post-Darwinist blog, Mindful Hack, Uncommon Ascent, and also you didn't mention the Access Research Network's blog, where you also contribute.
Yes, that's true. Access Research Network.
Okay, well, there's four blogs, and those are just the ones we know about. Who knows how many more blogs she has under different names on the internet. So
Well, like, how do you know I'm not Ed the Sock, the obscene sock puppet? Actually, I'm not. I assure you I am not.
Well, and I, for all I know, you could be PZ Myers, but I'm pretty sure you're not. I've actually seen PZ Myers' picture, and you don't look anything like him. So,
well, it could be Photoshop, but I will tell you this. There's no circumstance under which I would get into a row with a cartoonist.
There you go. Proof that Denise O'Leary is not PZ Myers. Denise, thank you very much for being on our show. This is always very enlightening. This is Casey Luskin signing off. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.